Meeting to order. It's 6:03. Jay, do you mind taking the attendance?
Sure thing. Chairwoman Bartels.
I'm here.
Deputy Chair Roberts.
Here.
Legislator Gavaris.
He's connecting.
Is still connecting. Legislator Heppner.
Here.
Legislator Ronk.
Present.
You have 5 present, 0 absent.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion for approval of the May 18th.
So moved.
20 meetings, minutes, and transcript. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor of accepting the minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. It's unanimous. And moving on to resolutions. Resolution number 7, adopting the Ulster County Code of Conduct.
Motion to postpone.
Legislator Ronk.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'll move it for discussion.
Oh, second.
Okay.
I just sincerely hope that, you know, between the two of us, and I think that we're both derelict with everything that's going on, we'll be able to find time to, you know, get together and talk about these things as a whole. You know, I mean, and next month we'll actually be able to get together in person for things, so that'll be good.
Yeah, I'd like to make a commitment to that, to making that happen this month, to talking about both code of conduct and to some extent the ethics. I know I sent you my notes, and that was some time ago now. I think it was just before all this happened. So if we get together and potentially have counsel there as well, hopefully we can get somewhere. Yeah. We can bring maybe even both of them forward next month and have a discussion about the holistic issue. So I would entertain a moment to postpone with consent, but with the commitment that this is the last month.
Kev?
Later
there
up.
It is. Yes.
I'll second.
Yeah.
Thank you. All in favor of postponing resolution number 7?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Resolution number 223, adopting proposed local law number 3 of 2020, a local law amending local law number 2 of 2006, local law adopting a county charter form of government for the County of Ulster, State of New York, and amending local law number 10 of 2008, a local law adopting an administrative code for the County of Ulster, State of New York, to require submission of departmental budget estimates from elected officials and department heads to the legislature.
I'll move it.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, discussion. Okay, hearing none. All those in favor of resolution number 223?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, it's unanimous. Resolution number 224, adopting proposed local law number 6 of 2020, a local law amending various provisions of local law number 1 of 2020, a local law amending the code County of Ulster to include mandatory food scraps composting by large generators.
I'll move it.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Legislator Roberts, is there any discussion? This is extending the implementation date out. Was that your hand, Legislator Walter? No. Okay. All right. Hearing no discussion, all in favor of resolution number 224?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, it's unanimous. Resolution number 231, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 7 of 2020, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster in relation to local law number 5 of 1991, a local law adopting a hotel and motel room occupancy tax to clarify the tax law's application to short-term and vacation rentals to be held on Tuesday, July 14th, 2020 at 6:15 p.m.
I'll move it for discussion.
Okay.
Second.
Legislator Heppner. Okay, discussion. Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. You know, as I said in Ways and Means, I'll say again here, I'm not sure that this law is ready to move forward this month. I know that our minority counsel has some concerns about it, as he has with many of the incarnations of this law that we've seen over the past 3 or 4 years. You know, our occupancy tax does not allow us to collect from third-party vendors, and as well-intentioned as this law is to try and clarify that, I don't think that we can clarify that by local law without actually going back to the state legislature to change our occupancy tax authorization. But you know, this raises some concerns with for me, you know, with how we're going to be able to access important information, like where, you know, some of these locations are, and then be able to share that information with the town. So, I would be in favor of postponing this until next month, and you know, give us all a chance to have some more discussion on it, and perhaps allay some of my concerns or make some changes that might make it more permissible. It's not a motion yet. I wanted to put that on the record, and then everyone else can have their say before we make any motions.
Okay. And I just want to point out there are changes in the packet. Did everyone have a chance to look at the proposed changes, which I'm expecting that we'll want a motion to accept the changes at some point. Has everyone had a chance to see those? Is that a yes, everybody?
I'll be honest, I didn't look at them in the packet. But okay,
I'm going to take a moment. But in the meantime, Legislator Walter.
Thanks. I appreciate Legislator Ronk wanting to feel as comfortable as possible with this. I think it's important as we are moving along and the county executive is also moving along. I would request that this get approved. This is for a public hearing that's not set until mid-July. And so this gives opportunity to look into whatever other issues you're concerned about. And so I'm just hoping that you'll just pass it at this point for the public hearing. And it's not approving it. It's not passing it. It's just allowing the public hearing and the time.
Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. You know, I have in the past supported quite a few public hearings on issues that I don't necessarily agree with from a policy standpoint. You know, this resolution is before laws and rules because it's a local law, and our charge under our rules is to discuss legal sufficiency, pretty much. I believe that this law, and I think Council Pascal, if he wants to weigh in at some point with some of the concerns that he's raised to me, you know, I believe, as he does, that this law may be legally insufficient. And I don't support having public hearings on a law that may be legally insufficient, because it's a waste of the taxpayers' time and a waste of the taxpayers' money to have a public hearing on something that's not going to pass legal muster.
Legislator Heppner.
Through you, Chair Bartels, if I could just ask Legislator Walter, if she can clarify, there are multiple counties in New York State that have similar resolutions on the book. Local laws on the book. Am I correct?
Yes, very many. And for several years.
So I'm just trying to figure out what's the difference between ours and theirs that have been upheld. That's a general question. Just trying to clarify.
Legislator Ronk, your hand.
Thanks. Two things on that. You know, number one, not every county's occupancy tax is written the same way. So that may be one of the reasons. Another reason is because they're just ignoring the fact that they don't have the authority to collect from Airbnb. We've been through this, several times. I think Leader Heppner, you and I have had this very same conversation several mm-hmm. times. In that, just because they're doing it doesn't make it legal. And just because no one is challenging the fact that it's not legal doesn't mean that we should go ahead and do it. I feel strongly about that. I've felt strongly about that for all 4 years when Elliot brought it up. and I still feel strongly about that today. I, in fact, put in a home rule request that was sent to our assemblymen and senators back, I want to say it was 2016, but that might be wrong. It was actually blocked in the state assembly and the state senate by both majority councils because the New York City HTC did not want it to move forward. And I got that from home rule councils in both houses of the state legislature, that the HTC lobbyist had blocked that because, you know, they had an issue with our asking for our occupancy tax authority to actually be changed to allow us to collect from third-party vendors. It's not that I don't want to do this. It's just that currently my attorney is telling us we don't have the authority to collect from third-party vendors. And just because other people do it doesn't mean that it's legal for us to do it.
I'm going to ask a question, Ken, if you don't mind. And that's, do you have an example of a county or municipality that has the authority to collect from a third party that you find to be legally sufficient? Everybody operating in this legally insufficient, from your perspective, is everybody operating in this legally insufficient way? And it's just,
I mean, Nick might know better. He's done a lot of research into this over the years. I believe Orange County has a voluntary collection agreement with Airbnb, but there's something different about it, and I can't remember what it was. Nick, through the chair to Nick, if you want to jump in here anytime.
Sure, if I can be recognized, I'll...
You can be recognized.
Okay, yeah, sure. So I guess just to follow up on two points, the first one would be, I'm not aware of any other county having been challenged or upheld, so I think that it's something that is not a settled question. Yes, the other counties in the state are doing it, but I'm not aware of any court decisions upholding the way that they're doing it. Orange County is doing it in such a way that did not require them to amend their enabling legislation, their local law. I think it's a compromise that they've arrived at. It might be right for Ulster County, it might not be. Our contract process is not exactly the same as Orange County.
Can I ask you a compromise with who?
No, well, when I use the word compromise, it's a compromise between the choice of exceeding your authority under the state hotel tax legislation, which other counties have done, and not doing anything. So what they've done, as I understand it, is they accept as a matter of contract or just accepting the payment from the third-party platforms, but they have not codified it in any way. You know, it's working for them, but nothing's been challenged. So they haven't been.
I'm sorry, Nick, but wouldn't that be the same legal challenge if they're not allowed? If you're saying that it's technically legally insufficient to allow for a third party to collect, and you allow a third party to collect, you just don't codify it. You take the money from them. It's the same thing, whether you've codified it or not.
I think the difference is what we're attempting to do here and what other counties have done is that we're, as a matter of statute or local law, relieving owner operators of the obligation to collect and remit and shifting that to a third party platform as a matter of law. So Orange County can say, oh, we didn't do that. They're still on the hook as a matter of statute. We didn't change anything. So it is, there is that, I think that is probably the principal difference.
Yeah, if I could just jump in on the back of that, Trace.
Eve, were you going to speak on the same point?
Sorry, go ahead.
Eve's hand was up first, but if...
Sure. I mean, that may be true, but of the 29 counties that have the agreement with Airbnb, many of them do, including Dutchess County, have a local law. I just wanted to...
Okay.
And go ahead, let register.
Ken?
Yeah, I mean... My comment to that would be, yeah, again, just because it hasn't been challenged, doesn't mean it won't be at some point. And I just, you know, there's several problems that I have. One of them is that every Airbnb contract that I've seen thus far including when I was on the phone with both of their, tax attorneys in San Francisco, have said that one of the caveats in all their contracts is that you cannot attempt to register or attempt to locate the operators. The whole goal of Airbnb in doing these voluntary collection agreements is to give us the money in the aggregate and to not have us be able to know where the operators are for A, enforcement, or for B, collection. I don't agree with that. I think that there's much more value in knowing where these places are for code enforcement, and for other types of enforcement than the value we're going to make up in what we're missing out on occupancy tax revenue. It's one of the reasons I've supported the current scenario where we seek them out and try to sign them up rather than collect from Airbnb in the aggregate, on top of the fact that, I don't believe that it's legally permissible for us to do so under our current occupancy tax.
Legislator Walter.
Thanks. So just a couple of points. Apparently, just a few hours ago, San Francisco and New York City, the lawsuit ended with Airbnb, and they are changing their codes, and there will be the capacity for them to get the individual information. So that's in the news today. I agree with you, Legislator Ronk. I think that this if we weren't able to get this agreement, we would still need a registration system. It doesn't go against, it's really more about getting more money into the county. But I just wanted to make sure people were aware that that was in the news today about San Francisco, New York City. And I was just going to ask if I could to Nick, whether he had any suggestions for an amendment or any other suggestions that he felt would make this resolution feel more appropriate.
Yeah, I did have a conversation with Council Rigucci earlier today about this, and I did look over the changes that were submitted in the packet. So I guess working backwards, the revenue issue looks like it's been totally redacted from the revised law. Is that correct?
Just what part of the revenue that
it looks like the entire paragraph dealing with allocation of revenue has been stricken, or is there more language?
No, it's been stricken to allow the original law, the home rule law, to just carry
the default provision.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That was one of the things we had talked about in terms of the requirements of state law, allocating 10% or 150,000, whichever is greater, to tourism. And so that apparently is not going to be an issue if we're taking it out and just defaulting to the original language. So we then did also talk about the portion of the law that, which is the subject of our commentary here, that shifts the responsibility from the owner-operator to Airbnb. If there was some way, because it sounds like all of this is tailored to back into an eventual contract, a VCA with Airbnb, if there was some way to know what the outcome of those negotiations would be, that they would be amenable to not relieving the owner-operators of liability so that we wouldn't have to change our tax law. We could leave that in place, but still authorize the VCA. That would probably go a long way towards the concerns that, not only myself, but the former county attorney and Council Rigucci had all sort of articulated in the past, which did lead to our effort to try to get special enabling legislation that couldn't get picked up by any senator. I think no one would carry it, but it wasn't because it was legally insufficient. There was just no political will to get it done at the state level.
Legislator Heppner.
Yes, another question to some points that I made before, just for clarification, and maybe either council, I see Council Iguchi's joined us, can answer. Would there be any reason why the county couldn't continue their contract with The provider we have now that was formerly known as Bear Claw, I forgot what it's currently known as, that provides that information, in which I agree with Ken is very valuable to the towns. Towns I represent have entered the $0 intermunicipal agreement to get that information. It was very helpful in their, you know, zoning issues and addressing those. But why can't, what is it that we, why can we enter into a contract with Airbnb and not continue our, I don't even know the dollar amount because it's under 50,000 and doesn't come to the legislature, contract with the provider as we have to continue receiving those packets, you know, for our towns and for our own information as a county as a whole.
Councilor Ragucci, did you want to weigh in?
Sure, I mean, I'm happy to jump in. I'd have to review that again. I don't see any reason, as long as being any aspect of state law, which I don't think it does, I don't see why we can't continue with that.
Legislator Heppner, did you want?
No, Legislator Rockinga.
Oh, just as an answer to that question, the former voluntary collection agreements that I've seen with Airbnb have all disallowed any research or trying to find where these places are, no more effort to sign anybody up for the actual occupancy tax. There were a lot of privacy protections that were written into these voluntary collection agreements, you know, the 28 of them or however many everyone keeps saying are signed around the state, that don't allow counties to do anything that would allow them to audit the receipts that were given by Airbnb. The way one county attorney referred to it to me, you know, Airbnb writes a check and puts it on our hand and we don't ask questions.
Legislator Heppner.
Yeah, I mean, because, I mean, obviously we wouldn't have to pursue Airbnb clients, but it would still allow us to pursue clients that utilize other services such as HomeAway and so on. I mean, I don't think it's the intention that we would sign an agreement with Airbnb and then allow any other provider or user to not be, you know, held to the same, you know, requirement and continuing the system, you know, that we have. That unfortunately just isn't as sufficient as an agreement with Airbnb.
Legislator Walter.
So the language, then I'm reading one of these VCAs, during any period for which Airbnb is not in breach of its obligations under this agreement, the taxing jurisdiction agrees to audit Airbnb on the basis of its returns and supporting documentations. It agrees not to directly audit any individual guest or host unless and until an audit of Airbnb by the jurisdiction has been exhausted and a matter is unresolved. So it's saying that you can audit, I believe it was once a year they can be audited. They're asking that you can't audit the actual renter or host unless the audit that you had with Airbnb was not sufficient.
Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. Just to that point, I understand you can audit Airbnb on an aggregate basis, but no one's been able to tell me how you audit them on an aggregate basis without knowing where all the hosts are and without having individual host data, because these Airbnb voluntary collection agreements don't send you a listing of, what they send you is they send you this many dollars and it was this many nights. They don't tell you where they were. They don't give you any of that information. I don't know, you know, you can audit that many dollars, you know, divided by that many nights is an average of this per night. But, you know, the information that they agree to give you in the voluntary collection agreement, I don't believe is sufficient to audit them even on a yearly basis.
Legislator Heppner.
And unfortunately, this is probably more of a question for a deputy county executive, but someone might know the answer. But it's my understanding from what I've been told, but I could be 100% wrong, is that the data collected through our contracted provider, it doesn't tell you how much each person's getting for that weekend or this week or anything like that. It's just owner's name, address of the rental property, and then the owner's primary residence. So we wouldn't, even if we wanted to, we wouldn't be able to accurately audit Airbnb under the current contract and service we're getting with this product, because we don't get any dollar numbers from it. We just get physical locations and aggregate numbers in terms of, you know, properties for rent and the homeowner's information. We don't get dollar figures. So even if, so I don't think we could even sign that agreement with Airbnb and not be in conflict with their concerns, because we couldn't audit them with what we currently have with this provider.
Yeah, if I'm going to weigh in just for a minute, that's accurate, Legislator Heppner. We have a record of all those that are registered with Airbnb, but not how much they in their rentals.
Airbnb is safe.
Yeah, one thing I want to weigh in on is a couple of things. It's my understanding that there are municipalities that have similar agreements with providers, if not the identical provider we have, then similar providers, for that information while having a collection agreement with Airbnb. And I also, it's my understanding that there are counties that have their own registration component, not through necessarily an outside agency, but that they have their own registration for all the different platforms and have the Airbnb. And I think today's drop of the legal challenges in San Francisco and New York City speak to a shift in that situation, probably nationwide. I also want to remind everyone that while this is a public hearing, if and when we get a contract with Airbnb or any of these short-term rental vendors, it's going to come back to us. And if the portions of the contract aren't acceptable, if, for example, some of the things that Legislator Ronk has brought up are not in or not in the contract, we have every right to not approve the contract or push it back and say we need to have these things in. And I think we should, in the interim, as these contracts are being negotiated, I think we should be clear about what we'd like to see, because that municipal data is very important to me, not just for the code enforcement, but for understanding the impacts in various communities based on the usage of these short-term rentals in various communities and how they're being used. I think in the interim, we're leaving a lot of money on the table. Legislator Walter, and then
I just wanted to add that the other challenge, and I'm especially concerned this year with the pandemic, is what's the incentive for people to register? Because it is, right now, the system expects people to register to get that specific information. The third party, which was formerly called Bear Cloud, only can guesstimate doing searches on the internet. It doesn't really have that much detail about whether the places were rented, and et cetera. So we really rely on the registration. I'm concerned with people really struggling economically, what's their incentive to register. In our current system, them registering and reporting how much actual rentals they had then yields almost like a fee to them, because then they're going to get a bill related to it. If we have this agreement, it takes the host out of the story. It makes the allocation of the money really with whoever's renting it, the host is out of the story. And I really truly believe that the incentive to be honest and thorough in their reporting in a registration system would be much higher, because again, they're not going to be fined essentially based on what they're reporting. They would just be reporting it.
Legislator Ron, you have anything up?
No, I mean, it doesn't, you know, I don't even know if I'll make the motion to postpone. It sounds like everyone's comfortable moving forward. I'm just not.
Okay, before we move forward, let's look at the resolution. I'd like to talk through the
Chair Bartels. Legislator Gavaris has his hand up.
Oh, Legislator Gavaris.
Actually, if you want to go through the changes first, and then I'll speak.
Are you sure? Okay. So, does everyone have the resolution up, or do we need Jay to put it up? And we can talk them through, or I'll entertain a motion to accept the amendments. Some of them were discussed earlier, but they're marked in the copy. Has everyone had a chance to look at them now?
I looked them over. Agree with them, but I don't think it changes my opinion.
Okay. Could we get a motion to to discuss the amendments or a motion to amend the resolution as presented in the packet?
I'll make that motion.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
Second, Tracy.
Legislator Roberts. Okay. Discussing the amendments. Legislator Guevaras.
Thank you. So while the amendments are better for me, it still has an issue for me is that if the goal is just to collect revenue that we are not currently getting because it's money that's just floating out there because we don't know the true details, then all of the language in there related to housing shortage, which I believe we do have, and I think affordable housing is an issue, I think while they're independently true, I don't think they're mutually exclusive. So if the goal of this law is to create an agreement with Airbnb and any other platform, then it should just be left specifically to that. And then later on, we can go back and look at and then deal with where to put the money. But I can't support anything that has related to where the money is going to go or what it should be used for. If we're just going to talk about getting revenue, and I can support it. But other than that, I can't support that.
Legislator Walter.
So I appreciate that. And I also appreciate you identifying that there were certainly the need to remove the language, especially before the resolves, because they were still addressing what once was a resolve that got taken out. So I completely agree with that idea. I guess the only thing I would like the legislator to consider is whether some reference to the impact of the short-term rentals on housing, whether there was some element of, even in the earlier part of the resolution, just so that it's part, because this will be the first codification related to short-term rentals, and whether you'd be willing to accept it with just the reference to it in the earliest stages of the resolution to say that this, we recognize that it does have that impact, but that all of the other elements where it refers to its distribution are struck.
Legislator Guevaras.
Thank you. I just don't know what one has to do with the other. While I agree that it does have an impact, that's not what this law is attending to address. And to have it in there, it just doesn't seem like it's part of it. I don't know. I'm having a hard time with when you add things that are not really related to the subject at hand. While they may be very true, it's just not germane to this exact law, though. Without collecting the money, whether we collect it or not, there's still going to be a housing issue. And if we have this contract or not, there's still going to be a housing issue and the issue with Airbnb. But it's not because we're not collecting money. It has nothing to do with that directly.
Okay, I had Legislator Heppner and then Legislator Ronk.
Legislator Ronk can go. I'm rethinking my thoughts.
Okay, Legislator Ronk.
Yeah, thanks. I, I'd hate to see this fail when another month might be able to make people feel more comfortable. Legislator Guevaras, I was unaware of his concerns about that. I think in a month, those concerns can be worked through with amendment language potentially. And I'd like some time to take a look at the actual lawsuit with council and try to find out what effect that has in Ulster County. A lot of times cities have different allowances under state law than counties do. So I'd like to take a better look at the application of that lawsuit to Ulster County. So I guess at this time, I'd like to make a motion to postpone this until next month.
We have a motion to amend on the table right now. So
that's fine. That's fine.
So what I wanted to ask is Legislator Guevaras and Legislator Walter as the representative sponsor, do you want to talk through, is there a way to reach an agreement on what the two of you are talking about right now and share it with the committee? That goes out, I guess, to both of you.
Sure. I would like this to go through. I was a little late because I wanted to confer with the co-sponsor, with Legislator Uchitel, because I didn't want to be speaking for his part. He also agrees that it's really important to talk about this, the issue related to housing, because of its implications. However, we both feel like if that is going to be a stopgap, that we are willing to accept those amendments, if that's what's necessary.
So Legislator Gavaris, do you want to talk through what amendments you're proposing, so that everyone in the committee can follow? Can we do that?
Sure. So if you're looking at section two, you have a motion
Is everyone able to pull up the resolution so they could see it, or do we want Jay to put the resolution on the screen?
Either works for me. I have it in front of me.
Legislator Roberts, do you need it on the screen, or are you okay with it?
I can find it.
Okay. All right. So you're in legislative intent, correct, Legislator Gavaris?
Correct. First paragraph under legislative intent. Now, since we already have a motion on the floor, do we have to accept the changes yet or no?
You know, let's do that to be clean. Let's call for a vote on the amendments that were before us, the packet of amendments that are in the group. Is that all right? Let's move on. Let's move that one, and then we'll do this one. All in favor of the proposed amendments that were included in the packet?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So that's unanimous. Now, entertain a motion to amend from, I believe, Legislator Gavaris. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, second. Before discussion, Legislator Gavaris, the floor is yours.
I believe Legislator Gavaris should state the amendment before we make a motion to amend and second.
Okay, that's fine. So, Legislator Gavaris, you want to talk it through?
Yeah, all right. So the motion I'll make would be to amend the first paragraph under section two of legislative intent would be to strike out the word bulk. It would be provide a significant opportunity for economic growth to our county through tourism dollars, period. I would strike through the rest of that paragraph. Then on the third paragraph down, strike through that entire paragraph, the legislature finds. And then on the next page, it would be the second, I guess technically the first paragraph, therefore, I would strike through that paragraph. And then number two under the local law, strike through. And I believe that's it. The rest of it was already struck through and passed.
You were somehow spontaneously muted on the last part there, John.
I think that was after
striking the paragraph therefore.
So number two under the next paragraph, it would be to get rid of the number two, and obviously the number one would just be part of the paragraph.
And if I could make a friendly amendment to your amendment, that would be just in terms of cleaning up the final paragraph language, to have the final paragraph, if you're striking number two, it could read, this local law would strike perform the following functions one. So it's this local law would contract with the online hosting companies, just in the interest of keeping it clean. Has everyone followed that? Okay, so do I have a second on that amendment? Legislator Heppner. Okay, so on the proposed amendment, discussion? Okay, so on the proposed amendment, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so now we have an amended local law, twice amended. So now on the resolution as amended, discussion.
I mean, I just, if I could, Madam Chair.
You may, and then Legislator Hefner after you.
I don't know what the rush is. I feel like our goal should be to have something that, you know, we could hopefully all agree on. You know, I don't feel like asking for a month is too much. You know, I've had local laws that have been, you know, postponed over and over again, you know, for up to 11, 12 months, issues of great importance in order to try to get folks to be comfortable. It's troubling to me that we're trying to, you know, rush into something like this where, you know, I think that there are some serious legal concerns.
Legislator Hefner?
No, I was just scratching my nose.
Oh, you were? Okay. I'm just speaking for myself. I appreciate Legislator Ronk what you said, and I too have had local laws that have taken extended period of time to move through the process. And I'm comfortable with that in this case. I mean, this local law has been here in varying forms, and we've been discussing it now going on, I think, it seems like 10 years, but I don't know how long. It's been a long time. I'm concerned that we are missing an opportunity, that we have missed an opportunity for collection. I think that the issues raised in the language that was removed are issues that exist and that we need to talk about as we move forward. And I think there's a commitment to do that. I also agree that the municipal data is critically important for so many reasons. And if and when a contract comes before us, I would want to make sure that we could still collect our municipal data and ideally get municipal data from Airbnb that would help us to understand the implications and help our municipalities to understand the implications in their various districts, both as it relates to housing and as it relates to potential strain on resources, whether it's code enforcement, et cetera. So I'm comfortable with moving this forward to a public hearing, understanding that it is a public hearing and understanding that a contract from any of these platforms is going to come before us. So just to explain my vote. Would anyone else, Legislator Gavaris?
I just want to be clear again. I do believe, and I think we do have to put effort towards addressing the housing issues that we have. And I think we need to put focus on that, but that needs to be the sole focus of that discussion, not clouded with other parts of this. I think there's an issue that we have. It's not just Airbnb, it's all the different platforms. And I think if we commit with each other to really work on this, I think we can get it done, but it needs to be a single discussion solely on that purpose.
Okay. So on the resolution as amended, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
That's Legislators Roberts and Ronk. Okay. Is there any old business that anyone would like to discuss? Any new business that anyone would like to discuss? Okay. I think we're through the packet.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Ed, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Thank you. Wait, Vicky, you're saying goodbye? Okay. All right. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a great night.
Thank you.